Hi, and welcome to our latest Outsports podcast. It is late February. I am back from, being away for a couple weeks. It was hard getting back into the swing of things. I got to tell you, Jim, being gone for almost 3 weeks.
I know the feeling. You need a vacation from your vacation.
I did need a vacation from the vacation. It was a lot. Well, and, you know, after I got back from the cruise, reffing the gay football tournament in Florida was tiring. I mean, I reffed 9 games in 2 days. it gets exhausting. But today we are going to talk about a story that broke late last week. You know, we always try to not break stories on Fridays because they get buried. But this one broke on a Friday. There wasn't much to do about that. Robbie Rogers, a professional soccer player in England, came out in the same breath that he left the sport. And Jim, you wrote about this kind of, you know, this idea, this juxtaposition of him coming out of the closet literally at the same moment that he quit soccer. And, you know, what does that mean? People were trying to say on Facebook that, you know, this is a disaster for sports. It shows how homophobic sports are because he couldn't be openly gay in sports. He had to quit to come out. Do you see it that way?
Well, my first reaction was I think I used the word depressing to the New York Times when they called, because it was kind of like, oh, I was expecting a current guy because I hadn't really examined the story when I was called by the reporter. And it is a little depressing, meaning that he did not feel comfortable for whatever reason doing this. But we don't know if he retired. He said he's leaving the sport. He hasn't officially retired. He's only 25. His rights are still owned by the Chicago Fire of the MLS, which said they'd love to have him. They don't care right. that he's gay. But the question I've always had is, his career had gone downhill. He had started on the U.S. national team and was, by the end of it, was playing in the third level of the English, you know, English leagues, pretty much the minor leagues.
Yep.
Did he not play well because he was struggling with his sexual orientation, couldn't compartmentalize it well enough, and it affected him? And we've heard many athletes say that. We've had people like Vince Pryor, the former football player, setting a school record for sacks after he came out to his team because he was liberated. So I don't know if he retired because he was gay or he announced he was gay because he figures he's done with the sport, he's going to get this off his chest, because he did it in a weird way. He posted it on his blog that didn't have many posts, and then simply tweeted out, wanted to get some shit off my chest, and that was that. So we really don't know, and he's not talked to anybody since. We tried to get an interview and have been unsuccessful, and so far he's said, the only thing he said about it recently was, I'm lucky to have an amazing family.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my sense is we really don't know. So to me, this isn't, oh, homophobia drove him from the sport. It's, well, maybe he figured he can come out now totally comfortably because he wasn't going to be playing anyway.
Well, and what I always say is, the worst person to ask about homophobia in their sport is a closeted athlete,
mm-hmm.
because they come from a place of darkness and hiding. They come from the assumption that everyone hates them because they're gay. And after he came out, Robbie's next tweet was, "Thank you everyone for all the support and love. Wasn't expecting this." And it was support and love from coaches and teammates and former teammates and union executives and league executives all over the sports.
Well,
not even in his own
his
sport.
His former roommate at the MLS wrote, you know, posted a picture of the two of them, the U.S. national team, picture of the two of them when they're roomies. What great times they had. So this guy would have been totally fine. And I wonder, we don't know, did Robbie come out to anybody, or was he like, remember Billy Beane kicking himself years later for not coming out to Brad Asmus' teammate? That, you know, guys who thought would have been fine with it. Maybe having one or two guys. But, yeah, Robbie obviously sort of thought that, what, this would be this terrible reaction. And then he tweets, wasn't expecting it, and it was universal support.
So, if anything, he came out because of his own perceived homophobia, which in his post he immediately said was not what he expected. He surely expected criticism and, you know, wagging of fingers, and that's not what he got. He got love and support.
Yeah, I was talking to some reporter about it, and I said, guys who are in the closet they think everybody is paying attention to every single thing they do, right? Their mannerism, yeah. And people just don't pay attention to people in that way. And so they're obsessed that, oh God, people are going to think I'm gay if I walk down the street with another guy just talking. You know, I have to be seen with a woman. And yet the reaction is so many people, especially athletes, are self-centered. They ain't paying that much attention to their teammates in that detail. And so Robbie probably thought, oh, my God, I heard somebody say fag sometime. You know, like he probably made it out to be worse than it is. But
But that's what athletes in the closet do. They make it out to be worse than it is.
Yeah.
And then they're shocked, like Wade Davis, shocked to hear from their former teammates who say, you know, like Billy Beane, why did you not come out to me? Why did you hide this from me? You stole an opportunity for me to show my support.
But doesn't it tell you, though, how big that when – I mean, no offense to Robbie, but he was a really minor soccer player by the end. When someone who's an actual pro comes out in any of the big sports, how enormous that story is going to be? Because the story was big, right? It was like everybody was talking about it.
Yeah, it was big. I mean, it wasn't – I don't think it was humongous. I went to ESPN and SportsIllustrated.com. They both had it on their front page. One of them had it in, you know, as a highlighted story briefly. But you have to remember, again, it was Friday afternoon. If an athlete wants attention, if an athlete coming out, current athlete, wants attention, he can get it.
Yeah, but my point of it wasn't like the biggest story in sports, but it was treated bigger given who he was.
Sure.
And if he was a pro athlete, it's like, you know, it'd be like, okay, we have our first guy who's openly gay. So, I mean, his letter he wrote, it was he's a good writer. I have to give him credit for that. And he obviously had been tormented by this, and now it seems like everybody's fine. Didn't you see a quote by his parents or family?
By his family. His sister and I think brother were asked. Somebody, reporters tracked them down, and they both said, you know, we love Robbie, but we're not issuing statements at this time, or something like that. They just didn't want to talk. I understand it. They want, you know, they weren't expecting this. A blog post at 1 a.m. and Robbie dropped it on them, and they needed a little time for the family to get together, figure out what they wanted to do. So I get why they wouldn't want to say too much.
Yeah, but I thought the reaction was just great. It was overwhelmingly positive by all levels. And it's just another sign that we said, you know, at least the straight allies, more and more of them are coming around each time. And I think the gay guys need to realize that they do have a lot of support. They're not, you know, they're not alone. What did Chris Cluey write in Salon today? That every, you know, it's a no duh, but yeah, every NFL player has played against a gay player at one time in his life.
Yep. Well, another straight ally that we wrote about this week was I wrote about Gene Smith, who's the AD at Ohio State, and he said one of his big regrets is he had a gay teammate while he was playing at Notre Dame, in what, 30 years ago probably, probably 30 years ago, and he regrets that he was not mature enough to be able to help this guy come out. And he says the guy still has not come out today. And but here's a guy at Ohio State who's taken that and said, you know, I'm not going to allow homophobia to dictate my athletic department. I don't know if you read the interview, but he's pretty. He was really great. He was just very forceful about it, and just take no prisoners, unacceptable. He talked about the Urban Meyer issue, which I know you're wondering about. And I felt
that was most interesting to me.
I felt his answer was pretty sincere. I mean, he just didn't blink an eye. He's like, we just screwed up. We just missed it. Didn't think about it.
Well, even at the time, I think it's interesting. Meaning that, you know, that they wore these lavender jerseys to kind of punish people for being, you know, bad. Right. And, you know, a lot of people saw lavender, you know, a gay color, whatever. But the point is, they didn't say, well, get over it, it's just a color. They realized, hey, it was offensive to some people. They heard from people on campus. And they went and they changed it. And to me, that was the impressive thing, is that they did it proactively, in a sense, after people raised the issue. And Urban Meyer says, I don't want to do this. And they made it a non-story. It was over and done with, as opposed to them digging their heels. And I like the fact that they made it Michigan blue instead.
I know. They made it something far worse than being gay or being a Wolverine.
Yeah.
Well, it was also interesting to me that Smith just casually said, you know, two members of my athletic department who are gay came to me and they brought it to my attention, and it was like it's such a non thing. He's like, oh, they happen to be gay and they're working for me and we talked about it, and it was just such, it was so matter of fact. And it's also kind of cool to know that Ohio State has at least two openly gay people working in their athletic department. I mean, it really just seemed like it's probably a very good place for a gay athlete to end up. Their hockey team just had a pride night, the first ever for Division I hockey, so it seems like a pretty good spot.
Yeah, and I mean, Columbus is a very gay friendly city, and yeah, it takes those leaders. It's the ADs and the coaches. They're going to say, you know, I can imagine you can be, you know, a gay player in Ohio State, even if he's not out to the world, but is out to his team. Given the support structure, they wouldn't have to worry about it.
Right.
And that's a big thing. There'd be some places where they would have to worry about it, you know, and it could be a problem. But at Ohio State, I think Urban Meyer would care, can you help me win?
Right.
And Gene Smith's the same way. Can you help me win? Good, done.
Well, and if you had any question about how other teams feel, I don't know if you saw the wrestling teams that I posted doing the Harlem Shake. Ohio State, there they are doing the Harlem Shake, which has to be the gayest.
Oh, you should watch us. We posted all the swimmers things. I mean, some of these guys, it looks like this is an excuse for them to kind of hump their teammates. I mean,
it is bizarre. They almost all of them, they get half naked when the music comes on and they just start dancing with each other.
It's a weird meme. Somebody said the Harlem Shake's been around a couple of years as a song or whatever it was, but it's like all of a sudden it has taken the college sports world by storm. But it's a good way for eye candy, so.
Well, I'd never heard of it until I was with my 15-year-old nephew last week, and he said, oh my God, you have to watch this. This is going to be awesome. This is awesome. He said, you'll love it. It's guys in Speedos.
Oh, funny.
Okay. And he showed me what, I don't know, was one of the swim teams. And I was like, well, that's a little weird. And yeah, I just kind of started discussing, CNN talked about it last week, and it's become this big deal. Kind of funny.
Well, and speaking of big deals, we'll leave you on this. Outsports is going to have a new look. Finally, Sid, a new design, a new look for Outsports in March. We're going to the 21st century from the 1800s.
We've been talking about it for a long time, so I don't think our listeners or our readers will believe us, but it is actually, honestly, truly happening.
The hamsters that power this site have finally given the ghost up and are retiring, so we're going to have get actual machines to do the work this time. But check that out come in early March.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It looks, to me, it looks really good. It's interactive, and it's going to increase our ability to cover mainstream sports and increase our visibility, I think. So it's pretty exciting. Hopefully our readers will agree. All right, well, that's all the time we have this week. We will check back next week.